Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Sword and Slime Podcast, a show dedicated to RPGs, JRPGs, and MMORPGs. I'm your host, Ryan. I have a special guest today. Trung, unfortunately, is busy with family stuff right now. Hey Trung, this is a shout out to you. And tonight's episode is going to be about the current state of MMORPGs. Now, before we get into all that, first, let me introduce you to our first ever guest on the Sword and Slime Podcast. Tyler, what's up, my man?
Nothing much. Thank you so much for having me here.
Okay, that's the end of the episode. Thanks for stopping by. It was real fun.
Nailed it.
See you later. No, but anyway, I'm just going to clarify. I call Tyler by his last name, Ogle, a lot for professional reasons way back when. But if you hear me slipping, that's why. Actually, I'll probably just default it back to calling you Ogle. But Tyler for the show notes. Anyway, let's get into how we know each other, dude. Because we've known each other quite a bit.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years.
Yeah, I'd say probably 2016, maybe 2015-ish. Somewhere around then. And
yeah. Well, it started with us knowing of each other, but until we worked together, I feel like we were able to really establish a friendship that blossomed into something beautiful that none of us could anticipate.
All the rom-com books I've read didn't prepare me for this, or could even prepare me for this.
All the slice of life animes that I've torn through.
All the cherry blossoms that have landed on the tip of my nose. So we've known each other from work. When we used to do that work together and we've gamed together because that's pretty much like what we bonded on the hate for our boss for one, but then we also bonded because we were gamers and we played similar games. Like back then, I mean, you still play it, but like, you know, RimWorld was still hot on the scene. A lot of those simulation early access games were sprouting out like fucking weeds, dude. And also RPGs in general. Pretty much what we talked about, right? I mean, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, this was before I knew about Splattercat Gaming or any other YouTube channel that would review indie games. So I feel like you and I, we just kind of watch the sales, and whenever they pop off, we buy a game and then run through it together.
Yep. That's true. Like Splattercat wasn't even on my radar yet. Like the whole early access scene in like the indie game scene, what is now, wasn't really on my radar. And yeah, I learned games through you or through major sales and we would discuss it. But let's talk about your history specifically. This is a MMORPG centric episode. So what is your history with MMOs and MMORPGs in general?
Well, way back in the day, I think the first time I got into something that was in the MMO realm would have been Cal Online and Silk Road.
And that's an oldie.
Yeah. The Korean MMOs are really what pulled me in. Just that huge grinding slogfest with having a goal in mind of reaching that end game, getting that cool gear, pumping up your stats. Maybe you have a pet. But back then, pets were really the cash shop item. They would like pick up your loot for you, and that would be a way that you could loot filter. But moving on from that, went to Sword of the New World, which is now called Granada Espada, if I remember correctly.
I've never even heard of that one.
I remember that one pulling for me. Basically, you control a team. So you'll have like your fighter that's your tank, and then your DPS and your healer. And so everybody's running around with three characters at the same time.
Oh, dude, actually, I played that game. It was kind of like, I don't want to say like Renaissance era, but like the guns were like muskety, right?
Yes.
Like manually loaded.
Yeah, it was essentially a Renaissance era, like Journey to the New World type game.
Like Greedfall. So yeah, I played that game, dude. I remember that. And it was like, it was like Guild Wars 1 where you had like your AI party, essentially. And that was like
correct.
That was very niche back then, like having that mechanic. That was so fun.
Yeah. And then like when you went to go to like the main menu, your character selection was essentially like your mansion and everybody was just like sitting around chilling.
Yeah. Yep.
Moving on from that, I want to say that's when I started playing MapleStory, and that was one that would have its claws in me for many years.
No one escapes
MapleStory. I played an Ice Wizard, moved on to a Fighter Warrior, I want to say. This was before they even had the Tier 3 classes.
Yeah, super early on then. Yeah. Early adapter.
This was back when Tiger was still top of the leaderboard.
Oh, no, I remember him too. Yep. So,
but yeah, moved on from that. I want to say next major MMO that I played would have been the survival ones. I don't know if those count or not.
Kind of like what, Ark and stuff?
Yeah, like Ark and stuff.
We'll just call them MMOs because they are, right? Like they're limited, they're server based, but it's generally like what, 100 players or so. And that, like, there's obviously there's different genres within that alone, but you got your arcs, you got your DayZ, the mods and standalone stuff like that, right? Where it's just like a larger community fighting in it, duking it out on just a server instance. So,
yeah, the way I thought about it was more of like what you're saying. It was just an instance area that you were interacting with other people in. The official servers, at least, like you'll have like your home server and everybody will have like the server that they main, and then there will be enemy servers, and then that's how attacks were kind of coordinated. You'd always hit them in the off hours. And the concept of that really appealed to me was having something quote unquote physical attached to like your work, and then you have a bunch of people working together towards a common goal.
Right, and you were part, I don't know if you still are, but you were part of a gaming community, right, that did that sort of stuff, like, with those games?
Yeah, correct. I'm actually still a part of a few of those. Just recently, when they went through Last Oasis, I played with them.
Okay, and that's, like, that desert one with, like, the airships or something?
Yeah, with the walkers.
Okay.
Walkers are kind of how you do your base and stuff. They wanted to create an MMO where that you moved constantly.
And thanks to the Lazy Peon, another awesome YouTuber, I avoided it.
I don't blame you.
But yeah, so what the audience will get from this is that you've been around the block when it comes to MMOs and MMORPGs. So it's good to have your insight on the show. Generally, like I've been there too. Trung generally has like more information. He sets more time into them. But it's good that you're here to fill that void. Though can we fill Trung's? I mean, I'm staring at his empty chair in the digital studio, so I don't know, but we'll try. But yeah, so before we move on to the main talking points of this episode, I just want to give a shout out to everyone in the live recording channel that's hanging out with us. Because like every episode, we record them live in the Discord server. And of course, the link to this Discord server can be found through our link tree, through our podcast episode descriptions. So highly encouraged to come hang out and listen to it live. And that just means you'll hear the episode twice because we need to boost our stats. Okay. We're trying to grow, right? We're trying to get to the top 100 gaming charts, which it's going to take everyone's effort. And it could be a dream, but who knows? Anyway, just want to give a quick shout out to everyone who's listening live. And let's go on to it. So first I wanted to talk about like the MMORPGs we grew up playing, specifically like not, we're not going to spend like 30 minutes on it, you know what I mean? But what we liked, like what the takeaways were from like playing those games as a new player and then what we didn't like, because we want to apply that to the future, right? We want to apply that to current MMOs out now and what's coming out. Because we have, you know, Ogle, we establish our baseline. Like, we're old enough now where we're like, we don't want to deal with certain bullshit in games. And I think for me, growing up, I was a free-to-play player primarily, right? I don't know about you. Well, I mean, you said you played MapleStory, right?
Little column A, low column B.
Uh-huh.
So I started off being free-to-play. My first subscription-based game that was more of a WoW clone.
I played that too.
And that's where I got the bug for raiding and the whole gear chase.
Okay. Yep. And I played Rift with friend of the show, Ben, when they announced it was going free to play. And back then, that's like when they announced going free to play, they're on the verge of dying. But I can see the appeal, like the classes and then the rifts happening around the world that, like, you know, promoted that. I mean, every MMO kind of caught on, like the new Guild Wars and stuff like that, but like promoting the like group combat that's not in a dungeon, you know, it's on the open map. But
yeah.
Yeah. So for me growing up, I was predominantly free to play. So I grew up on RuneScape. I grew up on MapleStory, and I grew up on a plethora of others, like Dream of the Mirror of Online or Delmo was another one I sunk hours in. And those are like the very, like the three that stand to the front of my mind. And all those games, they were social. I'm sure you're going to hit on this too, but there's like that trend where back then people were more willing to communicate with each other, to team up, to do things. And you know, this was outside of, you know, no Discord. TeamSpeak wasn't for everyone. Like, no one even really knew about TeamSpeak unless you were like in a hardcore, you know, raiding clan or guild in like WoW, right? Like you were in the pay, like EverQuest, like all the pay to play MMOs. So I really love those games for being so social and having mechanics around like that socialization, allowing players to party and handle, you know, same quest together, even though you're not like officially recognized in the quest. Like RuneScape, you know, you pick up the same quest from the NPC and then you just hack and slash and you'll get credit, right? For instance, specifically with RuneScape, just how you can mold your character through like the experience you're doing, you know, like you chopped a tree, you leveled up your woodcutting, you buried bones, you leveled your prayer. You weren't just putting points into a stat bar. But on the flip side of that, MapleStory, you had the point system, but you could form your character how you wanted to, as long as you didn't F yourself up like I did all the time and not be able to equip the next tier armor. And then I love RuneScape's free, like free-forming class system, but I love MapleStory's like straight bread and butter classes as well. Because usually that means they, you know, they develop them well and, you know, keep a small pool and refine them and make it more fun. And then they expand with, like, you know, like the tier three classes and stuff. But yeah, like early on, I mean, what do you think, Olga? Like, were people more social back then? Was it more fun to interact with people? Like, what was your take on that scene?
I think so, because with technology, there came more of a party system. And like you're talking about Discord and stuff, like it's such a great tool. But unfortunately, what else it's done is it has us kind of all split off into our own little echo chambers, and rarely do we venture out and kind of get new people brought into them. So I feel like everybody just kind of has their own little slice that they hang out in, and it's less common to go outside because it's safe in there.
Yeah, for sure.
And whether that's like old internet friends that we've already established with our generation, you know, or we have the people that are like friends in high school or whatever, they just hop on, get in their party of four people. Like their voice chat is pretty much just a bubble of them. Like they don't have to interact with the lobby like we had to playing Call of Duty 4 automatically. Yeah. So I think that there's a lot of elements that contributed to it.
Yep. And what about like, let's get into like maybe mechanics or just like attributes of the game. What are some of your favorites from like the early games? Like for me, I love games with there's no durability. That's just me.
Oh yeah, because I hate durability.
I feel like some MMOs are kind of like adapting from the survival scene, and they're like they're putting durability on fucking everything, like even like item bags and shit, just so you have to keep crafting.
Well, I understand it from they're trying to make an economy, right? And if you have crafters that can craft an armor, they sell it to one person one time. If there's no durability, right? That person's never going to need that piece of armor. They might need the upgrade, but I think it's to spur the economy, because a lot of MMOs today, like, you have to create some sort of sink, otherwise you have people that are going to hoard all the money and it starts to inflate the market. That's why soulbound items became a thing.
Yeah, you know,
bind, don't equip.
Yep, no train allowed. Yeah, that's another thing too. I don't know if that was just being such a young player and oblivious to it, but like, say MapleStory, like, you know, like the little zone where everyone had their private shops or whatever, and it was very easygoing. The market wasn't too like crazy because I didn't really dabble in it, but growing, like getting older and playing these newer MMOs, like even Albion Online, right? Like before I even hit ESO and Final Fantasy, and well, actually I played Final Fantasy before, but there's some games where the player run market backfires heavily with just inflation or what I would call like pigeonholing like a certain like item or like a craft tree through one guild or one crafter because, you know, they have all these resources to dump out the game. I think if like, and if the player market's like sold in the game as like you will primarily get your shit from there, it can harm the game in some ways. Like, what's your take on like player markets and stuff like back then versus now, if there's any?
Well, right now it's kind of like what happened with RuneScape and the Grand Exchange, right? It used to be that everybody would go hang out at the bank at Varrock.
Yep.
And you'd be spamming, you know, selling RuneScape 45K.
Yeah.
Like over and over again until you got somebody to trade you.
Buying GF 5G.
And yep. Then that trade would happen. Whereas now, I feel like just about everywhere, it's a third-party marketplace. It might have a tax associated with it, but it's whatever. But there's no more of the interaction, so there's no more groups of people congregating together. You just kind of post it to the board or whatever, and then walk away. And if it sells, it sells. If it doesn't, you can repost it maybe at a lower price and see what's trending. But I feel like they took away the social aspect of the trade industry.
Right.
And that's given people more time to see what other people are selling and how to undercut them. And thus the player economy is no longer driven socially. It's driven more mathematically.
Right. Yep. And they're, like you said, like the sellers distance themselves from the buyers, so to speak. I mean, not to say you could always DM them or whisper them or whatever, but generally now it's kind of like post an item, grab it from the shop or whatever interface that game might have for it. And I will say, I think RuneScape did that really well. Like the older games, I feel they allowed you to get good items from NPCs. Like I like having the choice of like an NPC shop and the player market where maybe this player will give me, you know, a cut on that dragon hide armor, right? You know, like leveling up my archer. I remember going through hoops trying to get that fucking dragon hide and shit. But like I like that choice. And then now it feels like with like the newer games, you lose out more. Like you lose out more. Like the NPC shops are like just the bare bones, like level fucking 10 items that.
Yeah, they're always filled with potions and stuff that you never use because you get so much just leveling.
Yeah, you'll never buy anything from there. And you're like, what the fuck? And then you have to go to the player market or you have to grind dungeons and shit. And that's for, you know, later down in the episode. But yeah, I think my main points, like from the MMOs growing up, I really like the social aspect of them. I really liked how it pushed players to actually play together. I mean, Trung and I talked about this in our MapleStory episode where we actually had to go physically to the dungeon location and recruit people via, you know, chat and then local chat. So global and local. There's no check a box and then you're in a queue for like fucking 15 minutes because no one's in your level. But
yeah,
like, you know, the independence of the market where you could buy from either the like the NPC market, so to speak, or like the player market, like, oh, someone's, you know, throwing deals, etc., whatever. And I just like the simplicity of some of these games too, because I feel like I'll talk about this in the current MMOs, but some of the crafting is so bogged down and extensive I just don't want that, you know? Well, now I really don't want that. Coming into like a new MMO fresh, like I don't want to, I get that enough in like the, like you said, you know, like the survival-esque multiplayer games, right? Like that's where that is for in my mind. But I'm not coming into, you know, an MMO and I have to learn not only how my class in the game itself works, but then I have like this crafting system that I have to watch like 5-hour YouTube videos collectively to even understand it, you know?
Yeah.
Or be slapped in the face, like, you know, ESO, where it's like, get ready to learn 2 skill bars, motherfucker. It's like, oh, okay, good.
Yep, get ready to learn how to weave your attacks, because...
Yeah.
It's
fun.
You literally have to learn how to click.
It's again. Fun and different. Oh, and you don't have gear armor or the rated armor? Guess what? You're not in my party anymore. Goodbye.
Just because the mechanic is unique does not make it good.
Yeah. But yeah, any last words on MMOs you grew up on and what you would take away from them or not?
No, I think we hit just about everything.
Okay. You want to move on to the current popular MMOs?
Oh yes.
Oh yeah. And when I say current, I'm talking, you know, Final Fantasy Reborn or 14 Reborn. I'm talking ESO, Elder Scrolls Online. And then Ogle has some in his pocket. But these are the current ones, like not in development, because we have a segment for that as well, or upcoming. But I know Trung was here. I just want to say this first before I forget, okay? So, like, Final Fantasy XIV Reborn, Trung's favorite MMORPG right now, and has been for, like, the last, like, 4-plus years. He's not here to defend the game or speak about it, even though he has in the past. So I'll say for him, he loves the game. I love the game playing it, specifically for its story, which is, you know, unique in MMOs now, where almost the story is like an afterthought. But not to say you need one. But yeah, I just wanted to say out there that, or put it out there, that Trung loves that game. And if he was here, he'd go all about it. But yeah, so current MMOs right now, Ogle, are you playing any, or have you played any recently?
I think the most recent multiplayer experience I had was Valheim.
Okay. So not really an MMORPG, but again, one of those survival-esque MMO games that, you know, it's instance-based on a server, so to speak. So that's your most recent. And what did you like about Valheim?
I liked that it was a title that was released and it was literally in the stage where that they were just trying to bring out the bugs. Whereas I feel like a lot of times now things are just released before they even hit actual production status. And they just kind of make a 1-year plan to release patches to fix everything later, because they're just trying to get it out there as soon as possible. And what drives me insane are the games that do this, and they start off having a cash shop with answers to those problems. Yeah. So.
Yep. And that's not just like on the small scale early access games you'll find on Steam, but in MMOs in general, like they'll show like, for instance, PSO2 New Genesis, you know, Trung and I played the beta, and they're like, yeah, for this, try out the mechanics, but also, you know, really look at our item shop to see if it functions, like our in-game cosmetics and stuff. And I'm like, really? That's what you're worried about? Because this game is trash. But anyway, that's for the next segment, brother. But yeah, so I liked Valheim. I still like Valheim. I feel you for what you can buy it now, you get a lot out of it. And you get a lot of cooperation from your friends. And it's almost like, it's almost to the point where you want to play those survival multiplayer games with your friends versus, hey, let's all pick an MMORPG to play with our friends, because there's so much bullshit and baggage with the MMORPG genre as a whole in its current state.
Well, yeah, and I feel like everybody's already played the MMO that gave them that fix, you know, and now everybody's kind of looking for that same spark that they initially had when they played their first MMO or they got into their first MMO that they, like, you know, cracked maybe 1,000 hours on.
Yeah. Yep. And yeah, no, you're right. But for me, some of the current popular MMOs I've played, I'll speak to recently is Elder Scrolls Online. And I know you have an account on that, but you played it way back when it launched. And so did I. I walked away from it. But then they're having a deal where you could buy it with the new expansion that's coming out June, actually, in a couple weeks. So
yeah, I also played it for a couple of weeks when I want to say it was Somerset Isles came out.
Okay.
Does that ring a bell?
Yeah. Yep. That is, I think, either two back or the one before. I can't remember. But yeah, so I played it recently, and you know this because we were going to meet up, but then like it all fell apart. So
yeah.
I had Trung, which is surprising because he's usually set in his ways with like Final Fantasy. Because I mean, why go to anything else if you have found something you like? So I had Trung with me. I had Alan and Brandon, which are friends over from Couch Cat. I had Ben, who's of course friend of the show. So we had some people on board, and at first it was cool because, you know, it's like a Skyrim, it's a multiplayer Skyrim, right, without the mod, and it functioned. But the story, like, for a new player, and I'm going to talk from like the perspective of a new player coming into these current MMOs, like these the most popular ones like WoW and stuff, because like some games just they don't do onboarding correctly, and now they're so convoluted with like features and mechanics, and the first thing you see as a new player is like the item shop, like, hey, buy this to skip levels or buy this to get a bigger house with more storage and shit like that. And you're like level two trying to get out of like the fucking, at least with ESO, it's whatever the current expansion is, that's the tutorial story. So you're like, in this one, you're in a jail. I'm like, I'm in a jail right now. I'm trying to get out. I don't want to see all this stuff. I don't want to buy an immersion breaking like unicorn pet to as my horse. You know, I'm level two, dude. But
oh hey, and don't forget this party hat skill or skin.
Oh my god, dude, RuneScape party hats, brother. But that's when it was innocent, dude. Right, like the RuneScape party hat, like it didn't bother anyone. And now we have this, like, this is the current gen of item shops. Massively multiplayer online item shops. That's what this genre is. But
yeah, it's all, you know, custom skins and boosts.
Exactly.
Because that's what sells.
Exactly.
And when you have something that sells, you're, of course, going to allocate more resources to that. So any skins in the shop, like any armor skins, any weapon skins, are automatically going to look better than anything in the game because they don't make money off of the equipment that's in the game. They make money off of that skin in the shop.
Right. Like you're like the games are like buy once, cry once. It doesn't matter because they want you to spend more. And that's how they built the game. But yeah, so I'm just going to focus on ESO because it's so fresh in my mind. But as a new player, onboarding sucked. And I'm looking in chat and, you know, locked in is the same or no onboarding at all. Everything is just guides to the best stats or how a class should be played.
Yep, metas.
Less just for fun or discovering. Yeah, so metas are a huge thing, especially in ESO. So, like, what was cool? The Skyrim setting. You have to be a Skyrim fan or Oblivion, whatever. Pick your game. You have to be an Elder Scrolls fan, I'll just say that, to like this game. So the quests are okay. The storylines are there. There's a shit ton. Yeah, Morrowind 2. Thank you, Graven, in the chat. But, like, the quest is there. The storyline is there to chase it, which is, you know, what Final Fantasy Reborn does well. They have an awesome story. The environments are cool. Very nostalgic for some of us who are playing the game. The PvP is pretty cool because it's one of those games like Guild Wars where it's got its own map for PvP. It's got the whole fortress system going on. There's, you know, tangible rewards for doing the PvP, as in, like, your guild gets to claim the castle you just took, or, you know, you defend a siege and you get a call out. You know, all that's, I mean, there's EXP and shit, but like something, if you care more than just numbers, you get out of it. And plus it's a lot of fun with the party. That's what we mainly did when we all played together. And then obviously the classes were pretty cool, but on the flip side of that, again, like we talked about earlier, it's one of those games where, you know, they focus on a unique mechanic that's just not that fun for everyone. And that's the hotbar switching, because you have two weapons, right? Or just two different class sets. And it's like mandatory. Like there's some on YouTube, like one bar, you know, blah, blah, blah strategies or classes to end with a made up fucking name. But like, essentially, you have to learn this mechanic that's not fun. And on top of learning this mechanic of switching between bars, you have to learn what to sync your time in properly. Whether that's via a class, which like Loch Ness hit on earlier, like I was on YouTube, dude. I had hours of content researched just to play this game, because I didn't know what the hell what was worth my time, and then I wasted my time trying to figure out what was worth my time, and then it was just a big loss in the end. But like, everything was YouTube and online guides. There's like a shit ton of websites that, you know, all they do are fucking ESO guides. Crafting guides, because crafting is extensive in this game. And there's some N-tier armor that you want to craft for the raids. And a bunch of other stuff. Like, what should I focus on? Because ESO compounds on their stories per expansion. Like, stuff doesn't just get taken away. All those quests are still there, so nothing's being replaced or nothing's being guided towards. You can do the straight up DLC story, but then you've missed out on like the whole game itself. So you have like 50 other quest lines to go back and hammer through to catch up. Of course, the item shop, or the pay to win shop, is just fucking phenomenal. Like, that's there's so many sales. It's hitting you with sales every time you log in. Sales, sales, sales. This will make your life better, quality of life, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, why isn't it in the game already? Like, why isn't this available to me now? I just bought your expansion bundle for like $60. Like, give me a fucking bone to chew on. They give you like just enough to buy like a reclass or something through the shop, which is ridiculous. And then on top of that, they revamped the combat system, because the combat system was broken. Like, only certain classes were worth anything. So I, in the middle of learning how to combat in ESO, it scrubbed everything I learned within like 2 weeks. So I was like, you know what? I'm done. And I uninstalled. And by then, everyone else had given up already. Like, I was the only one logging on doing my, because, you know, current MMOs, they think players, well, some do, but like, they think players want that daily incentive over and over again. So they have like the bonus EXP for your one dungeon, the bonus EXP for your one PvP battle. Like, that's all I was doing. I was doing dailies and getting off. And I think a lot of MMOs are gearing towards that now, like the daily SAS factions, and then don't come back until the next expansion. But, you know, with that being said, all about ESO, it's like, that's like that's my view of the current state. It's just come in, maybe spend like an hour, if that, or two, and then fucking leave, because you got your shit done and you're waiting for the next DLC, because there's nothing in the base game to keep you there. But then they're still pushing more stuff on the item shop than they are in-game content-wise. And that's sad. Oh, and by the way, almost no one talked to me in that game. Like, the game, the social aspect, maybe you got something in the PvP map, because people are trying to tell you, like, go to this freaking place, we're getting sieged, or go here because we're taking the castle, whatever. We're trying to get the Elder Scroll. That was about it. Like, I made one friend in the open world in a dungeon that was like a public dungeon. It wasn't an instance. So one, I played it for like 3+ weeks or so. And that blows. And that's just telling of the current state socially too. But, yeah, any, Anything you want to hit on with what you think's going on with the current like MMOs on scene?
Yeah, I mean, just from what we've been seeing over the past 10 years since I seriously played my own, there's been a scarcity issue. And by what I'm talking about with scarcity is like an MMO today plays pretty much the same as an MMO that I played 10 years ago. You know, you have the main storyline, you have your dailies, you have your PvP that's split off from PvE, which is like raids and stuff. You have two different armor sets to do the content. Like, I think the main problem is that MMOs haven't innovated. They've just been cranking out the same formula over and over again because it works for them.
Right.
So people that have already been through the formula, that have been through the ringer, you no longer get that new car smell going back to it. And that was my issue going back to ESO, was I've already had endgame content. I've already done the big raids in other games. Like, I saw a little tidbit of joining a guild and running quote-unquote endgame content. And to me, it just felt like I've already done this before. Like, we're going to grind out all these gear sets. I'm going to get the best in slot for everything. And then the new expansion is going to drop and everything I just spent the last, you know, however many months, 8 to 14 months grinding for, you know, every night, spending time away from my marriage and from other responsibilities is now worthless. And here's a quest that you can run that takes you about an hour and it'll give you a gear set that's better than what you just had. So you can start running the new content.
Yep. Yep. There's no, there's almost, besides maybe some like cosmetic item or something, but there's almost no reward for grinding out previous seasons. Or maybe like a title equipped to your fucking name, like your nameplate, but
I have to know, who cares about titles? Yeah. And why is this so prevalent in current MMOs? It's like there is a list of like 400 titles and nobody cares. Like, a game that I just tested recently that should be coming out in a couple months that I can't talk about its name had a title system, and I just remember I picked the most ridiculous one, and it was like, it was either nudist or naked. I can't remember.
Well, that's where they're spending their time developing. That's what's going to make
it. It was like one of the first three I got, double clicked that, never touched it again.
That's what's important, dude. It's immersive to the player. So
absolutely, 100%.
It's not party systems.
Worthwhile system.
Yeah, it's not party systems or interactive dungeons. It's literally fucking nudist titles.
Yeah.
And that's
well, another thing is to get back to something you said earlier about waiting 15 minutes in a dungeon queue. I really feel like the queue process solved one problem but created a huge one that I guess developers don't really care about. And this is going back to the point that you had on MapleStory, right? Where you had to actually physically go to the dungeon entrance and get your group together before you went, right?
Right.
So in a way, you were kind of hand selecting people that you wanted to go with you. You weren't just automatically getting paired with somebody that was just geared enough to run that dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And as we've all ran into, like, just geared enough to run the dungeon is never going to be pleasant to deal with.
No.
They always make the content available at like the bare minimum, but there's always some way to get over that bare minimum to make the dungeon easier. But the problem with role queues is that you'll get people that are like just enough to get into the party finder, and they'll join and essentially just kind of leech off of everyone else. So you have this person here that can't pull their own personal weight, that's gonna get rewarded for being there. And I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
It's still not talking to you.
They leave immediately at the end. Maybe they say GG.
Because for
just a ghost in the night.
Because for me, it's like I want that interactive party. That's why I liked Maple and shit. Like talking to people, and then you actually get to learn about them. Like you have to talk to them. Like, yo, dude.
And still not talk to you.
What are your stats? Like, what's your armor right now? What are you? Blah blah blah. But I liked the social aspect of it and being forced to talk to people and get this party running, have like, you know, repertoire of people. So it's not just a fucking silent dungeon that's like 30 minutes of just don't look at me.
And God forbid you've never run the content before because they have 14 different DLCs and 12 dungeons are at your level.
Yeah.
And you just get queued for all of them.
And back then.
Or you run like the four for the dailies.
Yeah, and back then people were more willing to say like, yo, dude, I just hit that level 20. Like, are you willing to teach me? And it's like, yes. Yes, I am, because you didn't lie to me. On the flip side of that, instancing or like just the role queues alone. One, they're convenient because you don't have to physically go anywhere if that's your thing. Like if you're, you know, like a crafter or some type of other aspect in a game and you just don't want to be traveling to certain parts because you're farming mats or you're selling stuff for the guild or whatever. I get that. And also it helps with dead games. Like you're coming in, you like say I want to replay Final Fantasy Reborn. Those dungeons, like level 10 dungeons or whatever, how many other level 10 players are going to be there? You know, and this is, I'm not talking about on the hype end of an announced expansion that's coming out because Final Fantasy just announced their expansion. It's for pre-order. But I'm saying like mid-dead season where expansion's been played, it's now done with. You know, like I'm not going to find people just loitering around that area. I'm going to have to fucking rely on that queue system and hopefully someone queues up, because that's what it felt like in Elder Scrolls too. Like leveling up my character and hitting like the mid-20s to 30s, it's like without the queue system, and the queue system still took like 20 minutes sometimes, I probably would have never found a party to begin with, especially with there's duplicates. Like I'm a tank, they're not looking for two tanks, or I'm a blah blah blah, they're not looking, or a healer or something like that, right? Or God forbid I'm a DPS and I'll never get a party because everyone's a DPS. So it's like it did solve like the timing issue, traveling issue, but like you said, it allows for unsavory things to happen. And when I say unsavory, I just mean, you know, people to squeak by into parties and fuck it all up for you. And you'll wipe on like the second floor of like a 5-floor dungeon. And you're like, what the hell? It's not supposed to happen yet.
Yeah.
We're at the boss yet. Okay. But
you have so many dungeons and it's like, how are you going to keep track of every boss mechanic that leads to an insta wipe sort of thing?
Oh my God, I know, right? Like, cause he
don't attack him in this phase, or else he reflects 100% of damage at the entire party or everybody that's in the room. Cause that's intuitive and fun.
Yeah, and ESO has like a fucking list of dungeons, dude. And it's like, I don't know, I don't know what they do, but yeah. And on the flip side of that, it took away the social aspect because you're it's promoted to just queue up and fucking leave chat, like just don't even look at chat, or close your chat box,
do your daily,
same if you're feeling it, because I did an ESO, I just, you know, GG at the end of the dungeon, even though I said nothing for 15 minutes, and get the hell out of there, and then log off. So it's a double-edged sword. It fixed stuff, and then it ruined things.
Yeah, well, I feel like more improvements were made towards convenience, mm-hmm. and getting people logging on daily, than getting people to actually stay involved and engaged, dude, in the game and making the day by day, minute to minute, hour to hour gameplay fun.
I want to ask you, man, are people just not willing to like put the time in a game anymore? Like, are people's attention span, you know, how they talk about, oh, social media, like you have like a TikTok, a fucking Insta, a fucking Twitter, whatever, and you bounce around. But like, is that happening with MMOs? Because that's how they're almost being marketed with these mechanics, right? Like these instant feel good or instant, you know, queue time cut in half, whatever. Like, I almost feel like they're treating these players as if no one gives a shit about your game after 30 minutes.
Right. Because I think that's another issue around scarcity, right? When we were growing up, in order to play a game, you would either have to spend 12 hours downloading it overnight, or you'd have to go and actually buy a physical copy, come home, install it.
All six discs.
Yeah, install it disc after disc, load it up. Oh, there's a post-launch patch, you got to download that too, you know? Whereas now, yeah, everything's kind of at our fingertips, right? We lived in the days before Steam was a thing. We lived in the days when you might have like four games installed on your computer, and do you really want to replay through Call of Duty another time, or maybe spend 12 hours on an MMO, you know?
Right.
Whereas nowadays, for instance, I have a 2 terabyte drive that I haven't even filled up half of it, and I have everything installed that I want to play, and then I play RimWorld for 1,000 hours, but that's a different story. That's a different subject. But MMOs don't hold my attention because, like I've been saying, I already played my main MMO. I already saw something that was different and new and played that for 8,000 hours.
Right. You made your friends. You had your fun. You had the rose colored glasses, and it's like, that's it. The ship sailed. Yeah. Right.
There's no draw to an MMO anymore. Right.
Right.
There are so many games out today that all take different aspects of what made an MMO fun back then, and you literally have it at the touch of a download button. And especially all of us that are adults and have expendable income, we can afford to just go buy a new game, even if it's just to try. You know, you might refund it at the end because that $20 or $60 is important to you. But in my current situation, I can burn 3 hours on a game, realize I don't like it, uninstall it, and never think about it again. And that's fine.
Right.
And at some point, like, it's sad because there's no investment in anything anymore, right?
Because go on, dude. Finish. Oh,
sorry.
Finish your thought.
Sorry, I'm gonna finish up. I promise.
Okay.
Like, like, I just feel like, you know, there's like how you're saying that Trung is an absolute fanboy for Final Fantasy, right? I feel like nowadays that's a more difficult trait to find. Right. I haven't felt like I've had a game per se since Rift. And that was like junior year of high school before I got a girlfriend, and everything has been worse ever since. You know?
Yeah, you had to start kissing girls and you're like, this sucks, dude.
My virginity, no.
I'm the same way, dude. I don't feel like I can defend a game right now, right? Like, I played Albion Online for a fucking month and was like, whatever. I played ESO for even less. It's like, whatever. Final Fantasy was fun. I respect it. Still, whatever. Like, I don't.
Yeah. Like, I played Realm Reborn when they had their giant. Well, when it became a Realm Reborn, actually.
Yeah. And they had the huge launch, right? The revamped, blah, blah, blah. Everything we promised you. Yep. And that was fun. But it's like,
I ran through it as a Dragoon, and it just, again, it didn't. That lightning didn't strike twice. Like, I thought I was going to be able to get it finally. And I think I got to like max level through the main storyline quest. And as soon as that end game hit, I just completely lost interest. And I think I stopped playing, and eventually I uninstalled it, or I just bought a new computer, because that happens too.
Yeah. You just don't want to, what do I need to install? Whatever. You just, new computer, new me.
Open up Microsoft Edge, install Google Chrome, go from there.
Yeah. yeah, dude, and this is what's going to lead us into like our final segment on this topic, is just next gen MMOs coming out. And when I say that, I mean PSO2, New Genesis, which Trung and I are going to do a deep dive on. Amazon's got their New World game coming out. And there's Ashes of Creation or something. A couple others, Lazy Peon has like showcased. It's like they're coming out, right? And at least for PSO2, you know, for me, they've ruined PSO, Phantasy Star Online, because for me, that game is, there's a community hub. Everyone is there. You meet up there, and then you go to an instance dungeon and you do your thing. But now they're adding, you know, now they're just being like any other MMO, like, oh, look, we've added a lifeless open world map now. Isn't this going to be fucking fun, guys? Are you going to love this? You're going to love this. It's like, thank you.
I always love the YouTube videos making fun of that.
Yeah.
Just where they have somebody that's just like running for an hour and a half for a fetch quest.
Your only friends are like a level 2 boar. And it's like, well, thanks, man. I'm glad there's a level 2 boar in this area. I'm glad you made this map so I can see your stupid ambient enemies. Thank you. But, you know, they added an open map. That sucks. And things are just wacky with character creation and all that shit. But it's a really nice character creation. I will say this. It is a really nice character creation. But like,
well, that's the issue with open world is it doesn't have to be empty space. Right. Like, you have to fill that space with something.
Yep.
And I would say MMOs were the first real open world experience, you know, before right. they became more of like the
RPG.
The non-linear yeah. RPGs. Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, I'm just spoiled with like Red Dead 2, right? Like, that fucking open world is fucking phenomenal. But just like the stuff they added to the game on top of what, you know, they're promising, and of course, like the cash shop, and I'm like, okay, it's gonna be the same shit as what's out there already.
Yeah. If I want this, I'll just log on to ESO.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's like what we were just talking about is coming out as quote unquote next gen, and it's the same shit, just a different skin. And most of the time they look the same. I mean, you are testing a game that you can't mention. Is there anything, I don't want to say like the game specifically, but like your takeaway, like what are you imagining the outcome of this game? Where are people going to want to play it or not? Is it going to be the same thing we've talked about with our, you know, games we grew up with, what's current now? Like, is it going to be worth playing as a new gen or what, dude? Like, if you could say that.
It's not going to be worth it. I feel like everybody's just going to bum rush to the end game. And then it'll be the daily grind again, because it's exactly that type of game. You know, there's nothing that's going to actually right. keep you there and engaged with the content. It's just going to be another game that's going to be based around new release of DLC or whatever. And then they're going to up the gear score and rinse and repeat, you know?
Yep. And so like you're level 1 and you're already fucking worried about what the raid gear is, which shouldn't be the case ever in a game. You should be enjoying the journey along the way,
yeah.
but you already know there's going to be those hardcore players who are going to pigeonhole you or even push you out of content because you don't have that gear score or the gear score for one, but also the certain gear required. Or you're, you know, like Lockness said earlier, you're not built a certain way for that certain class.
You haven't checked your abilities online yet and made sure that they were the meta setup.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that this game boasts is they have all these abilities that you can use and all these combos that you can pull off. Well, none of that matters because one does 0.68% more DPS than the others.
Right, and you have like a Reddit thread where everyone's got a boner about stats, and you're like, dude, I do not give a F. Like, you ruined it. You ruined it for me.
Yeah.
Level 5 and you ruined it.
Oh, we never brought up Monster
Hunter. I was actually...
Monster dude, Hunter World.
That was actually going to be... part of the end question. So if you just hold it deep, because I know how we feel about that game. It's fucking, you know what I mean. But so as it stands, and this is, you know, one of the most like notorious or at least talked about next gen MMOs, and you're saying it's done, like it's done out the gate.
Yeah, it's gonna be dead on arrival.
All right. And so not to touch on the free to play is coming out, not to touch on the Asian imports coming out later this year or next year, which if you're interested about those, go to Lazy Peon's YouTube channel. He's a fucking god when it comes to that stuff. But that's going to roll into the end question, Ogle. And that is, are MMORPGs worth our time anymore?
I can't honestly say they are. I feel like if you are new to the MMO scene, go for it. Absolutely 100% get your experience out of the way. I would advise you not to go for the boost content, because honestly, when I see a boost in a cash shop, whether that's an experience boost, any sort of resource boost, that to me says that they know there's an issue with their game and they would much rather you pay for it than them fix it. They're already admitting their game is not fun.
Yep. I would say I'm in agreement. I'm looking out the window now. I'm finishing my beer. It's a Porch Rocker, by the way. The only same amount of beer I'll ever drink in my life. But yeah, no. I think the ship sailed. I think the environment's different. The communities are different. Like Ogle said earlier, everyone's in their own bubble. No one wants to fucking talk to you. No one wants to play the game with you unless you're in said community. And I think your best bet is to playing smaller MMOs that are, you know, browser-based, text-based, mobile-based. Because surprisingly...
Cozier.
Yeah, they're cozier. And surprisingly, the smaller games care more about their fucking community than the AAA games. So, because they're growing and they want feedback and they want that, like the social aspect. So I play Simple MMO. Ogle, you played it. And that game would not survive with how much the community has put into it. Like Mike's a good developer, but he relies on that community to help him out and to build his game upon.
Yeah. And I feel like the target audience for AAA MMOs and MMOs that have a lot of money put into them is they're there to make money.
Yep.
You know, they don't view the community as players. They don't view us as a voice for the direction the game should go. We are instead a bank account. Like, we're just a transaction at that point.
Yep. Yep. And like Graven saying in chat, Adventure Quest, the old text-based MMORPG. I remember that, dude. I remember. Yeah. You clicked to go to a different map and shit. yeah, amen.
I remember my 2D character that I would make when I was on the computer at like my grandparents' house, you know? Then you'd have like your little, like, what was it? They were like Mooglings or something.
You're like,
your little pet.
Yeah. Red spiky hair.
Turn-based combat.
Oh my God, I know. That was like it. but yeah, I think the MMOs now, not worth your time. And it's going to be the same shit with all the new ones coming out. I think your best bet, if you do want MMO, is, like I said earlier, text-based, mobile, what have you, browser-based. And also, why even play those? So if your target is to play with friends, and you have those friends, or you want to find an easier way to get companions to play with you, like Olga's about to say, just play games like Monster Hunter, man. You have your fucking community hub. You have, you know, we just talked about it's the biggest drawback for MMOs now, but for games like Monster Hunter, like the cooperative multiplayer games, this is where Discord, Reddit, all those other like Party Finder, you know, LFG.com, stuff like that comes into play, where just get into the game that focuses on playing together and being social together, that has a multiplayer hub, and go from there. I mean, Monster Hunter does it right. Like, games like that do it right, where you have a place to meet up with players, and then you're going into those, you know, the cooperative instances. Like, you're not going on an open fucking world map where you're fucking seeing the same level 2 bird and boar and fucking dinosaur, whatever the fuck it is, every 5 feet. You have an objective, you have other players geared towards that objective, and it's more likely than not going to be more forgiving for new players and more rewarding. What do you think, Ogle?
Yeah, and I think Monster Hunter, like, they perfected their formula, you know? Like, everybody's kind of locked to, like, their own loot, you know? So they don't have to deal with the whole economy, so they could focus more on the gameplay itself.
Right.
Right? They could focus on the balancing of the different weapon types. And I think that's one of the games where it's like, you don't have to have the top tier meta everything to be successful. And the game gives you the tools right out the gate to do that. You know, playing through it a second time, which I don't know why you would, but cutting down to like your level 1 gear or whatever, the skills that you have learned just by playing the game, you are already a better player. And they did that through introducing you to content that would challenge you.
Right. Yep. Especially like the solo hunts you do in the very beginning, and then they open up the party system and how like your weapon or your class works within a party, and how if you're a longsword, you just trip everyone. I think that's very important for new players. But like, it's, I think that's what's going to come down to, dude. I think MMOs, you're out. Like, see you next Tuesday. And then you have like the multiplayer survival games that are prevalent right now. Like fucking DayZ has been, you know, is alive because of the community within it. Games like Ark, even though their developers are sketchy as hell, have survived. And then you had like a million clones like Hurt World and all that stuff. Rust is another one that's fucking thriving now, finally, after like 10 years. And then you also have like the very like multiplayer focused games like Deep Rock Galactic, right? We played that together, which goes into line with like Monster Hunter and other games. Yeah, that are,
it's getting a team together and it's going and doing an objective. You know, there's not a whole, there's not a whole ton of, I guess, filler content,
right,
is what it can be called, essentially. Like those areas in an MMO that you never return to because there's no point.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Like you are like those games facilitate playing with players faster and with less bloat. That's what it comes down to. But yeah, that's the question we wanted to answer. I think Trung would say the same thing. I think Trung would say play Final Fantasy XIV Reborn. Otherwise, everything else is bust.
Yeah.
I don't know his opinion on PSO2 yet. We haven't talked about it in depth because we're going to do our own episode on it. But it'll be interesting to see what he thinks after hearing this episode.
Yeah. Do you want to give me 3 minutes to talk about New World real quick?
Yeah.
While we're talking about upcoming.
Do you want to go with that and then we'll roll into fan input?
Okay. Yeah. Well, just real quick about New World. I don't like where they're heading with it. Amazon is creating it to make money. It's not even out of alpha yet, and they're already spending more time on the cash shop than they are on the problems that they're going to run into with their end game. I have warned them about it. I got banned from their internal forums for it. I had to come in a different way. So I'm back on their internal forums. They've gone through 2 community managers. First one is probably my fault, not going to lie. But they aren't listening to any feedback. They're making the game essentially cater to people that can't play very long, you know? So they're going to sell the boosts, essentially, is what I'm saying. Like, they want people to pretty much log in for the least amount of time. They want that initial $60 out of your pocket and a cash shop for you to buy into. They're going to make it a pain in the ass to own any sort of land. And the only people that are going to be able to maintain those territories are going to be no lifers that have more than 100 people that are on around the clock that can log on for wars and lag the game down to a point where it's not fun anymore.
Is that what they're called? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be full of large clan warfare, which just comes down to the person that gets the most frames and the lowest ping is going to have an advantage over you, especially with their skill-based combat that they run with. I just don't see anything there that I haven't seen somewhere else. And Amazon really needed a win for their first game, and they're already coming out of the gate with these scummy practices that have been warned about time and time again. Like, they haven't even proven themselves as a game developer, and they already want to cash in.
Right. I mean, that was probably their whole motivation, right? Not gamers for, made by gamers for gamers. It was more like, here's more money. Here's our potential cash in. And that's like kind of like the whole catalyst of this episode, right? Is like New World was kind of marketed as like that MMORPG killer. Like, this is going to be the new standard. This is what everyone should be excited about. It's a new, it's a new game with a new company behind the game. So there's, chance there to thrive in a different direction and all that jazz. And they fell flat. Or at least you're saying they're falling fat right now in testing.
Yeah, they had a really interesting idea. I've been through 3 of their tests. They did modify things. And now that we're at the end stretch, I'm just starting to see the ugliness start to come up. And like, they're trying to slide it under the radar. And it's not getting by me. I've already written it off. I've already refunded my pre-order. Like, I'm calling it quits.
There you go. So if that's not going to be worth your time, then probably no other game is either.
Never get hyped for an MMO is what I'm trying to say. Yep. You will that, only that, yeah. set yourself up for failure.
Get that tattooed on your chest.
Don't tempt me.
All right. Perfect. So let's move on to fan input and we'll call it quits because this is a long episode and I gotta pee. So episode input, dude. First and foremost, from Graven himself. Shout out to Graven for being a supporter. He says, MMORPGs are becoming very similar in a lot of things. If developers don't start implementing some new / interesting elements, then soon it will not be worth our time. And I think we've hit on that in our discussion. Unfortunately, that's just kind of like the norm.
Yep. It's the same game being released over and over again.
Yep. RIP. Loch Ness says, I think the trend is dying out. We've all had our favorites, but I feel like the communities aren't the same. Less teamwork and more individual glory. I've complained about how Fortnite people don't really work together anymore to fight off zombies and just run in guns blazing. I think patience is lacking. Yep. No one really wants to work together unless you're already part of the community that's been built who knows how many years ago, right? It's a shame. And plus all the mechanics that make it easy for a solo player to play cooperative content alone, which makes no fucking sense, but whatever. Jurg says, personally, they don't tend to hold my interest for long anymore. Like, there's some good ones out there, but now it seems to come down to the community more than the game itself. There's a lot of tropes that make the ones worth stories not too engaging, but not all of them are bad. Worth it if you find a good one. True. Jurg seeing, trying to see the, you know, the sun rays from the sun coming through the clouds. Hopefully there's a good one.
The silver lining.
Yeah, silver lining. But I'll spoil it for you. There's no good ones besides Reborn. If Trung was here, that's what he would say. Quirxio, the final input, says, indeed, MMORPGs are fun if the community is good IMO. Well, the gameplay and mechanics are still important, but the most enjoyment comes if the folks you're playing with are fun. Teamwork, planning, coordination, combined with a fun community and decent game will give you the stories and moments worth remembering. For instance, Ashes of Creation is one upcoming MMORPG that I'm kind of looking forward to. From whatever I've seen so far, the game does have a lot of interesting mechanics, especially the node system and the corruption system, and looks to be very promising. If the dev team somehow accomplishes what they're trying to do, then it is a game I will definitely try. But then again, even if the game turns out good, I will only enjoy it if I have awesome folks to play with, which is like the common theme, right? Like, you can't, these games don't make it easy to meet people, and if you don't have people from the get-go, it's, you know, almost not encouraged anymore to talk to people. But I hope Quirxio finds some homies to play with that game. Yeah, so that's it for fan input. Again, thank you for everyone who leaves input for episodes. These episodes are for you, and it's awesome that you're involved or you're able to be involved with us. That being said, that's it, man. Before I get into the outro, because that's another fucking 5 years of talking, is there anything you want to shout out, Ogle, before you go? Anything at all? Any upcoming projects, social media, etc.?
I mean, I'm watching Ashes of Creation 2. But again, my cynicism is always going to overtake whatever hype that I have for it. So I'm keeping my eyes on it. You know, I always hope for the best, you know. I hope that there in the future is a game that people can enjoy together. And it's not just the same
shit
taco that we've just been fed for the last 20 years, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I love tacos, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but I have nothing on social media. I have no personal projects or anything that I'm working on. I'll continue to be a guest with this show for sure, if they ever decide to have me back. But yep, as far as personal projects, I'm a very private person. I like playing single player games, but always feel free to reach out if you need my opinion on something or if you just want to hang out. That's fine, too.
Yep, and you'll find them in the Discord server. I'll just leave that there. A public place where you can find him. But yeah, man, I just want to say thanks for coming on to the show. Thanks for being our first guest. You're a homie, you're a supporter. And it's always good to spend an hour with you now that you moved away and left me all alone.
West Coast is best coast.
Oh my God. Anyway, that's it for the show. Keep a lookout for the PSO2 beta deep dive. Beta deep dive for a new episode for Sword and Slime when Trung gets back in the studio. You'll find our social media links through a link tree in the podcast description. And you'll also find the link for our Discord server through that. Again, come to the Discord server where we hang out. We record things live. We have ways for you to interact as a fan, whether that's through episode input or episode suggestions, and also support for this podcast itself. And you also get all the news quickly because we don't really post news on Twitter. It's mainly Discord-centric. Also, if you love the show and you're able to and you want to help the show keep on moving forward, Anchor support is an option. As low as $1 a month, you can donate through that way, and you'll get Discord benefits and awesome holographic stickers. I don't know if you're new to the show. I ordered holographic stickers through Sticker Mule, and they look freaking badass on a water bottle and anything you want to slap it on. Graven says he wants to slap it on a toilet. That's cool too. Especially, you know, those like bathroom stalls and like breweries, Zogel. With like the wall stickers.
Oh, you give me like 15, man. I'll like Seattle.
What the hell is this podcast, man? It's fucking cute looking. Is that a slime? But anyway, and also just shout out to friends over at the Couch Cat Discord server, where I'm a admin over there, and the Couch Cat podcast, which is the first podcast I've ever hosted in my life, where, you know, Ogle and Trung and every other friend I've named has been a part of as well. But yeah, that's it. We'll see you in the next episode. Peace, everyone.
Bye.